Well, as our young people discovered in the park this morning, and as I'm sure we all have, just looking outside, spring is fully here, and it is beautiful. Flowers are blooming all around us, and we see some of them gathered before us this morning, and many more outside in the city and all across the countryside. The earth is awake and bursting with color. Isn't it wonderful? Isn't it wonderful? I know it happens every year, but every year the spring flowers feel like a surprise, wonderful gift, an astonishing gift from the earth, which we did nothing to earn or deserve, but which nevertheless leaves us wide-eyed with awe and fumbling with gratitude every single time. Year after year, in this spirit, surrounded by the colors of life and overwhelmed by the glorious power of nature, we turn to meaning-making rituals to help us comprehend the mystery and the magnificence of the earth and the beauty and diversity of fresh flowers. So here we are, gathered once again in the springtime of the year to celebrate our annual flower ceremony. Now, for those of you experiencing it for the first time, I wanted to share a little background information. The flower ceremony, or flower festival, is a unique Unitarian ritual. It has been honored here at People's Church for, somebody help me out, decades? Longer than that? Many, long time. And it has been honored just the same in Unitarian Universalist congregations all across the country for almost 100 years now, which is pretty amazing. It was invented in 1923 in Czechoslovakia by a Unitarian minister named Norbert Čapek. Čapek himself was born in 1870 and raised Catholic. As an adult, he became a Baptist and then a Baptist minister, and he served congregations in Europe for a while. But in 1914, he was called to a Baptist church in New York City. So he and his wife and kids came across the ocean and moved to New York. In America, Čapek encountered Unitarianism and rational humanism for the first time. It changed his life. In his diary around that time, he concluded, "I cannot be a Baptist anymore, even in compromise. The fire of new desires, new worlds, is burning inside me." And by 1921, he was a full-fledged Unitarian with a keen desire to spread Unitarianism back in his home country. So he returned to Czechoslovakia. He went back to Prague and founded a Unitarian church there, which very quickly was drawing thousands of people. It was the biggest Unitarian church in the 1920s in the world at that time. Čapek's church emphasized humanist thought and included very little ritual or really other worship elements besides the wonderful sermons for which he was known, which would take almost the whole hour. So he was looking for a way to engage people on a different level, perhaps on a deeper level, to this new faith which they were becoming used to and learning about. He wanted to bind them to this new tradition and to each other. So on June 4th, 1923, he asked his congregants to bring a flower with them to church, a flower as beautiful and unique as each one of them. And when they came that morning, he invited them to combine them in one common vessel, magnifying their beauty and becoming more together than they could ever be apart. At the end of the service, everyone was encouraged to take a different flower home with them than the one they came with, in a ritual of giving and receiving grace, being and creating community, sharing and spreading beauty and hope. From the get-go, it was extraordinary. People loved it. They were enthusiastic and continued with it every year in Prague, and it spread from there. A beautiful beginning. A beautiful beginning to a wonderful story, but the story doesn't end there. And unfortunately, like the story I told last week about William Ellery Channing, this story too includes some sadness. As you know, World War II was waging in the 1930s and 40s in Europe, and it was an incredibly dangerous time. So much so that Čapek's own wife, Maya, went back to America to escape the violence, but Norbert stayed. He couldn't leave. He insisted that he needed to lead his church, and he continued to preach in favor of free thought and against authoritarianism. Well, the Nazis didn't like that too much. And in 1941, he was arrested for standing up for his beliefs, along with his eldest daughter, and sent to a concentration camp where he eventually died. Legend has it that Čapek shared the flower ceremony ritual with others in the camp. Of course, there were no flowers to be found, so he had people collect sticks and rocks, gather them together, bless them, and take something different away from that ritual. Which adds a whole new dimension to this thing we're doing, doesn't it? As usual, the flowers in front of us this morning are magnificent. Like all flowers, they grow against all odds. They remind us of the abundance and glory of nature. They humble us in the face of the mystery which causes the flowers to sprout and bloom at all. They invite us to contemplate diversity, for each one is completely unique. They invite us to contemplate the interdependent web of life, for no flower can live alone, and they come together, as we can see now, in a beautiful bouquet, more beautiful than they could ever be alone, just like people. So I'm going to say that paragraph again, but this time instead of talking about flowers, I'm going to talk about people. People are magnificent. They grow against all odds. They remind us of the abundance and glory of nature. People humble us in the face of the mystery, which allows babies to be born and love to grow. People invite us to contemplate diversity, for each person is completely unique. People invite us to contemplate the interdependent web of life, for no person can live alone, and we come together in a bouquet more beautiful than we could ever be alone. Yes, some are capable of great evil, but all are capable of even greater good. And most people are simply amazing. In the face of evil and death itself, Čapek and the others held on to their goodness, beauty, and humanity. They chose love in the face of hate. They resisted evil. So this year, perhaps we can think about the flower ceremony in such a way, as an act of resistance. A celebration of beauty and life, yes, but also a defiant act of hope when it would be just as easy, if not easier, to succumb to despair. Certainly the spirit of defiant beauty was evident in the sharing of this ritual by Maya, Čapek's wife. As you may recall, she was here in America during the war and at the time of his death. And she was also a Unitarian minister, a fact that sometimes overlooked in the history books. She was also a Unitarian minister who carried on the flower festival after her husband's death and brought it to countless American Unitarian congregations, and she really is the reason why the ritual spread. And so we enter into that spirit today. I know the flower festival is beloved for its wild, wonderful celebration of beauty, diversity, gratitude, and to be sure, that is something to experience with great joy, and we get to do that today. But this year, I wanted us to also consider one deeper meaning of the ritual. That is, namely, that celebrating beauty and nature and life is an act of resistance. Of course, we have more than one reason to think about acts of resistance today. It's Mother's Day, after all, a day that originated after the American Civil War, when mothers of Confederate and Union soldiers alike came together to demand peace. When Julia Ward Howe made her famous Mother's Day proclamation in 1870, she encouraged everyone, especially mothers, to work for peace and stand up against war. She and other women anti-war organizers envisioned a Mother's Peace Day. Of course, this didn't catch on, and Mother's Peace Day got watered down from its radical roots to Mother's Day, as we know it now, but let's not forget that history of women coming together and saying, enough is enough. We are choosing something different. We are choosing nonviolence, life. So as you may have figured out by now, this is my third year at People's Church. I usually try to avoid talking too much about Mother's Day from the pulpit. It's just so complicated. It is so difficult to do well. Some of us love it, and others of us dread it every year. But this year, my wife is 39 weeks pregnant, and you're all out of luck. Motherhood is on my mind. In a matter of days, Casey and I will become mothers for the first time. And I would be kidding myself and all of you if this fact wasn't completely occupying just about all of my brain space and emotional energy these days. Pregnancy brain is real, as Casey says, as she puts the dishes in the refrigerator and the milk in the cupboard. As our little queer family grows and we prepare our hearts and our home to welcome a whole new person into this big, scary world, the whole thing feels a little bit to me like that flower growing out of the crack in the sidewalk. Against all odds, and you know, as two women trying to have a baby together, we had some odds to overcome. This child will be born, and she will thrive. She will be magnificent, like all of you. By some miracle, you were born into this world. An act of resistance against all the other possibilities, against all the odds against it. And then in the face of barriers, endless hardships, difficulties that come with life, you're alive and you're making it work. Don't forget that. You are magnificent. You are stunning. You are an amazing, strong, gorgeous, defiant creature who, by simply being here, blesses the world with your beauty and magnificence, contributes to the diversity of life, and gives us all a reason to practice gratitude for your precious life. I hope to raise my child to see herself this way. I hope to minister to a congregation, to this congregation, in such a way that you all see yourselves this way, as blessed, loved, empowered, grateful for the opportunity to be alive and honored to share your gifts with the world. So now please allow me to close with a meditation from Norbert Chopik himself. It is worthwhile to live and fight courageously for sacred ideals. Oh, blow ye evil winds into my body's fire, my soul you'll never unravel. Even though disappointed 1,000 times or fallen in the fight and everything would worthless seem, I have lived amidst eternity. Be grateful, my soul, my life was worth living. He who has pressed from all sides but remained victorious in spirit is welcomed into the choir of heroes. He who overcame the fetters, giving wing to the mind, is entering into the golden age of the victorious. May it be so.